This is Awakened Pop Radio, giving you the tools to guide you on your spiritual or metaphysical journey. I'm your host, Dr. Candace Nadine Green.
Welcome to Thought Thursdays on Awakened Path Radio. As always, you can visit www.awakenedpathonline.com. Again, that's www.awakenedpathonline.com. Today for Thought Thursday, we have with us Bala Dave. Bala is a neo-shaman aligning with soul purpose to bring healing unification through a fusion of ancient and or future artistry, spiritual philosophy, and reconnective healing energies. As referred to in his booklet, Living Light Language Creation Speaks. Welcome to our show today, Bala.
Hey, nice to be with you, Candace. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. Now, for our listeners who have not heard of the term neo-shaman, could you explain that to us?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's a term you'll find in a dictionary. You know, it's more or less a creative play on words. Mm. I would say my spiritual journey really began kicking into gear in my early 20s. And as an artist, kind of discovering myself as an artist at that time, I began attending an art school in Oregon, the Pacific Northwest College of Art, and going through a revolution in my own consciousness as I was waking up in the world. And I believe a series of incidents had occurred through my life that were beginning to manifest as the ascension energies that were coming in. For me, this was back in the late 80s and early 90s. Wow. When around 90, I'm giving you a very long answer for your question, but it's kind of a buildup.
Right.
In 1987, there was something called the harmonic convergence. And someone from that period might have heard of it, but it was a global, intentional gathering of like-minded souls who sat for meditation in different countries around the world. It was a synchronized meditation event because of some galactic alignment that was occurring at that time. Mm. And it's associated with the 2012, galactic center being reached and the Mayan calendar. And so I believe this was a really significant period between that time and 2012 and where we are now. These ascension energies really began, people were recognizing that there was something going on a galactic scale. And I think those of us who were, waking up at that time, there were generations of people prior who were also involved in New Age energies, whether it's Madame Blavatsky and all of that coming around in the early 1900s, but we're being influenced, and these energies are having their effect on us. And I just was becoming aware of the process of ascension, and it helped to read some books, such as Jose Arguelles had a book out called The Mayan Factor, where he felt connected to that civilization. And as an artist and a professor, I think he began channeling information from the Pleiades and so forth. Mm. And he termed us what was called galactic Mayans. Mm. He said, those of us awakening up in this ascension process are of this vibration of the galactic Mayan. And that, one of his big missions in life was to bring forth a more natural calendar based on the 13 moon cycles, 360 days in the year, going back to the natural rhythms of a moon cycle rather than the Gregorian solar calendar, right? Mm-hmm. And so I read that book sometime in the early, like 1990. And I think with art and with spiritual studies, you know, I began formulating something like, what are we? What? And other people have used different terms. Light workers, right? Indigo right. children, mm-hmm. Star seeds. And you might be able to break them up into different categories of, like, you know, the star seeds were a more recent group of individuals. Indigos go back a little further, you know, whoever decides on, you know, when those start and so forth. But I believe these are all similar terms. So neo-shaman, I would put in there with light worker, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. meaning, you know, one who tuning into the natural world and the understanding that we are spiritual beings, with a lot of respect for traditional shamans.
Right.
And what they go through. In the modern age, I don't know if we really have such a deep appreciation, because it's just hard to know the lifestyle and the commitment and the sacrifice, mm-hmm. and whatever it is they go through to achieve their levels of consciousness. So I, mm-hmm. with all respect to true shamans of different mm-hmm. cultures, you know, I definitely honor that. Mm-hmm. But I think as neo shamans, maybe we're born in cities, maybe we're born in so many right. different situations, but whether it's connection with psychotropics or just spiritual awakening, but something leading us into pathways of a deeper multi-dimensional awareness of this, you know, of this reality or realities that exist, then, you know, I think I was dabbling with a website and different things, and just the idea, oh, well, you know, I can refer to myself as a neo-shaman, or that's part of our process is through art and dream and the right. inner world start exposing this information.
Right. That reminds me of the book Urban Shaman. I forget who it's by, but that book talks about again the same issues. What to call a shaman who is doing work today. There's so many other terms, like you said.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, well, you know, it's an interesting subject. And, you know, I think there has been a more of a popularity, but also a true interest, say, in mm-hmm. ayahuasca and people right. exploring, you know, just what a magical reality we live in. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's ways to access that. Mm-hmm. I'm careful not to overuse or overabuse substances, because mm-hmm. I want to remain in as clear a consciousness as I can.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
And so I choose, you know, a life of, you know, the healthiest lifestyle I can manage. And also, I just believe that clarity is what it's really about, and getting in touch with our heart. And so whatever practices facilitate or assist us in heart expansion, you know, appreciation for all of life, and you know, we're built, we are bio physical spiritual beings, and accessing our spirit is a natural thing for us to do. So, you know, some may feel that utilizing other substances help, but ultimately I think we can do this on our own, like the yogis of India or of right. different cultures.
Right.
They go in, you go into the inner world and you connect and you grow that way, you know?
Right. Requires stillness of the mind. That's one thing that a lot of people have trouble with, you know, the thought, the monkey mind and all the thoughts going in and out. That's what prevents some people from going within, because they have trouble silent, being still with their minds. So,
yeah, and we live in a wonderful time, right? When over these last couple decades, for example, so many literatures have come out, such a spiritual awakening in our culture that we have a lot of tools to utilize, And so I think we're all, you know, we can mention different books, which I'll mention some, or people who have influenced me to help in my awakening. And, but we will all be attracted to certain things at certain times, right? That will assist us in opening up to greater levels. And so, you know, I'm sure you'll have some other questions, but I just wanted to kind of recount a little background of myself, just so that people, you know, at least what I'm saying has some relevance, you know.
Go ahead.
And I'm not just making things up, you know.
No, but, we didn't think that. Go ahead.
but we're all spiritual beings on a journey, and we all have such an individual experience. And so it's neat sometimes to hear of other people's process, and then we can relate to that, or you know, at least look into our own lives and see what were significant points that may have meant something, you know, and where it's leading us. And so I just go back to in my earlier youth, although I grew up in a agnostic family, middle class family, normal childhood, we always lived close to nature, so I always had access to forests and trails. You know, that was a wonderful connection. But I began to realize that there were energies flowing into me. Like sometimes the crown chakra just like felt like it was open, and a flood of light was filling my body. And I would be walking home from school or whatever and having these kind of ecstatic experiences of hair standing on end, and just like, wow, life is amazing. Like these rushes of beautiful energy, you know, just flooding your body, you know, and that would happen on a pretty regular basis. And then I remember it kind of fading off as I got older into high school and such, and thinking at a certain point, oh no, is this going away, or why is this happening less, or, and is this normal, is this what everybody experiences? And I just kind of concluded that everyone experienced this. But I think it was a, you know, the energies at that time, and now, of course, you know, are just, they're powerful if we're attuned to them. And maybe I was just more of a simple, open vessel, didn't have much judgment towards these things. And then at the age of 13, my family went to Mexico for a vacation, and I remember going to the site of Tulum, which some, you know, some people have heard of. It's a beautiful, smaller Mayan site on the edge of the, well, whatever ocean that is right there. It's off Cancun. Is that Atlantic or Caribbean? But anyway, I climbed up the steep steps and came around the back side, and I remember just being floored by a strong deja vu, looking out over the ocean with my back against this temple wall, as if I had been in that exact spot at some previous time. And, you know, it's just, it's events like that that began opening me up. So even at that age of like 13, I was like, oh, well, how could I ever doubt reincarnation? I had this experience. I was there before. It was obvious to me. And so I, coming along further, you know, into the 20s, reading different books, autobiography of a yogi, and getting into Eastern mysticism, practicing Tibetan Buddhism with local chapter in Portland, Oregon, reading the books of Carl Jung, Joseph Campbell, The Collective Unconscious, and then I think this awakening was just coming on so strong at a certain point. I dropped out of college and decided to go live on a beach in Hawaii. Like, what was the point of anything else but just kind of, you know, discovering what is the purpose? What, who is, a big question for me is, who is God? And if God exists, what, who is it? Like, you know, if there's really a God, we must be able to know more definite information. And it led me to discover, I was looking for gurus, and, you know, kind of one guru channel led me to another, and I discovered the Vedic teachings of India.
Mm.
And I actually joined an ashram, which was the Krishna conscious,
mm-hmm.
you know, practice, bhakti yoga, a yoga of devotion. It mm-hmm. took me to India and to Europe, and I lived in different ashrams. And for about 8 years, I was like a celibate monk. and that happened during my 20s.
Wow.
And, you know, it was a good discipline at that time. I mean, unlikely, but it happened because of such a strong attraction to like spiritual life and just feeling like I was being nourished in this practice. And that's a point I want to make too, is practice and discipline, whatever it is. I'm not saying it has to be harsh or overly regimented, but just the fact that anything we do in life and want to succeed takes a level of study, a level of practice, a level of discipline. You know what I mean?
Right.
And right. And so spiritual life is not just airy fairy, you know, walking around saying I'm spiritual, but actually right. finding something that works for you, whether it's through yoga, meditation, you know, mantras, different things.
Right.
But everyone's can find something that actually really helps them focus their mind, like you were saying earlier, silent the mind, focus, go internal and connect with spirit and divinity and what, you know. So that's what I have found to be a process, you know. I mean, we can get more specific, but
now you have
things that have helped along the way.
Now you have a booklet called Living Light Language, Creation Speaks. What's that about?
Yeah, well, I will admit the term came from reading a book called The Keys of Enoch, which if anyone in New Age circles has not heard of that, I'd say it was one of the original books to influence a lot of New Age literature. But in the 70s, a man named J.J. Hertak. All this can be looked up online, Keys of Enoch, Book of Knowledge. And it's quite remarkable because it was so advanced for the time. And you would say channeled, but I just read on the website, like he was saying, this is not a channeled book. He had a direct experience of being picked up by Enoch, some great being associated with divinity, with God, who carried him through the belt of Orion and to another world system where he was educated on certain things that humanity needed for its evolution.
Mm.
And when he was put back, he dedicated his life to like writing this book, doing a lot of scientific/spiritual research. And today he's very active, him and his wife. And anyway, I reference that book because in there he spoke about the brotherhood of light, the higher beings of love and light, which includes the sisterhood, of
course. Right
and that living light language is a process by which light and information is coming to this planet, and that galactic communication occurs in this way. It's a hard thing to put your finger on, but in a way it's everywhere, in the sense that we're always receiving subtle tidbits or downloads of information, and either we're unconscious about it and it kind of manifests in our lives gradually, or we become more conscious of it and we can then be receivers of it and actually bring it out and transmit it, right? And so, I mean, whether you're a musician or a visual artist or a vocal artist, you know, like it can come through in so many different ways. where it's an inspiration. One reference is the music of the spheres. Like there's this divine
music
information that's out there. And whether it's, you know, it's hard to decipher, but one could say, you know, it's coming from ETs, it's coming from the Palladians, the Andromedans, some other, you know, source, or coming directly from God, from the angels. But I have not, even in my own work, I'm what I call a galactic glyph artist. So I've always, since my early 20s, I started channeling a type of drawing, and that is automatic drawing. I just really let the pen do what it needed to do. And it's nothing representational. It's purely abstract, but it's such a design and shape that it looks to me like a language and like symbolic information. And anyone can visit my website, galacticglyphs.com, and see my artwork there. But I've never been able to do anything other than this stuff. It just keeps coming through, and I enjoy doing it. It balances my left and right hemispheres, and I just let go. It's a meditation for me. And I've never been completely, absolutely clear on where it's from. I mean, I've had inclinations to say it's, you know, maybe we want to be connected to certain planetary systems, so therefore we think, oh, it's Andromeda, or it's, you know.
Right.
But I can't say for certain. I've never had a being manifest in front of me and tell me exactly what this is about. But in my own journey of just soul searching and trying to understand these things, living light language is a term that just is really beautiful.
It is.
And to me, symbolizes love and light frequency and information that comes through any of us at any given time to uplift and upgrade us. And it's part of the ascension process.
And I also like the part of the title, Creation Speaks, because not often do people think that the earth around us is speaking all the time. It's just that we're not aware. Some of us aren't aware. There are those of us who are awakened who are aware, and some are not. But I think it's beautiful.
Oh, well, I'm glad you caught that or mentioned that, because you know, I didn't want to completely steal the word living light language and claim it for my own, because it's not true. It came directly from J.J. Hertak, you know, he's a Venus. I think that's where it originated. But I, you know, adapted it by saying creation speaks. And that's really, when you think about it, yeah, that's a real significant thing, because if we are tuning in, we are constantly receiving information from our surroundings.
Right.
And some examples of living light language. There's another artist who is well known in some New Age circles. His name's Brian DeFloris. And he does angelic living light language kind of script and other beautiful drawings. And he's someone I actually studied with for some time. He would reference even the bird songs, you know, the wind in nature, the sound of a babbling creek, like all these things. If you sit and meditate by a creek,
that's true.
You hear, right?
Mm-hmm.
You hear all these sounds of nature.
Yeah.
How is that beautiful and uplifting, you know?
Totally beautiful.
Yeah, there can be so much information in that alone, you know.
Right. Now, you also are involved with reconnective healing energy. Could you explain what that involves for our listeners?
Yeah, for anyone who hasn't heard, the reconnection or reconnective healing can be looked up online. There's a wonderful person, Eric Pearl. He's the originator of that, and he's got a very cool book about healing called The Reconnection, and it's really worth a read. I think, you know, just briefly, he was a chiropractor for many years, and then in a chiropractic session, he was informed to remove his hands directly and just do some energy work, and I believe through this experience, actually the person, the client he was working on, began giving channeled information to him.
Wow.
So that information led from one thing to the other, and he found someone, another channeler, who was able to show him specific movements about an ancient, or well, I'd say a newly revealed process called the reconnection. And what Eric Pearl claims is that, just like, you know, there's many forms of energy healing, and they're all valid, right?
Mm-hmm.
They all have their effects. And one of the most popular is, can you help me think of the term, hands-on healing that most people have heard of, called, anyway, the name's slipping my mind.
Sorry.
But it's parallel to, you know, all these other forms. But what he says is there's a new vibration coming through. And this was like, I guess, in the later 90s when this started happening.
Right.
And he said it's the latest access to other dimensional energies, and it connects one with source, and it's a total realignment of we were cut off at a certain point in our evolution, and that these subtle strings that connect us with our galactic core, you know, can be mended or reconnected. And I guess, you know, people would just have to experience it to see how it's different or how it works for them.
Right.
But I personally went to a practitioner and had a few sessions and really had a significant experience, which realigned me to a new direction, just out of the blue, and really shifted me. And so then I went to study this in Miami for several days, several day seminar, and then became a practitioner. And it's just it's a wonderful way to interact with people. It's, you know, pretty much a 45 minute to an hour session, and he demystifies a lot about energy healing. And one of his concepts is that maybe in the past we had these ideas that we had to clear so much negative energy, really make sure it was cleaned off and that you didn't get contaminated by it and that it was disposed of properly, and then you begin your light work and so forth. He says we're in a new energy field where we can transcend a lot of that and not be concerned with the negativity.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, that's very interesting, because in Reiki, that's what people are doing, correct?
That's the term.
Yeah, that's the one. clearing out energy, imbalancing us, trying to balance us. So it's good to have another way.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, those things, have their purpose.
Right.
Can work and all of that, but he's able to explain it much better than me in his book. But just that concept that we can enter into this, say, if we want to be a facilitator for this,
right?
Accept your I am presence, accept your position as a being of light and love, and go in as a facilitator of this energy. And really remove your ego completely, and that these higher energies are doing their work. Two individuals interacting out of compassion, and with just that pure intention. He says one practitioner doesn't even need to know what the certain diagnosis may be of the client or this or that. It's not important. You just go in, you do the laying on of hands, which is really not touching the individual, but rotating. And there's a little bit of a process to it, but it's very free form. And it's really just kind of being more of a conduit, you know. And when you go to his seminars, he says that he's able to transfer this reconnective energy to any individual who's there and receptive and willing, and you feel immediately that you're capable of doing this. So it's kind of a worldwide phenomenon, the way he's traveled everywhere. And
well, it's awesome. That's great. Now, in your work, go ahead.
Well, just before we, if we diverge from there, one interesting thing that I discovered through the, so I found myself just attracted to this modality. Hmm. And then as I studied it, I became aware that he also was aware of the Keys of Enoch, and that specifically some things said in there relate to his process. So there's a connection between living light language and the reconnection, and that he calls it light and information that's being coming through.
Light and information. Very good. Now, in your work, you mention, and I'm going to quote here, crop circles are symbolic information packets to be decoded consciously or subconsciously. They are present to raise frequency vibration of all life on planet Earth. So how is this so, that about crop circles being a symbolic information packet?
Well, I'm not speaking as some absolute authority. You know? it's just my own personal interest in these things. And as an artist, of course, I'm attracted to these beautiful, sacred, geometric symbols.
Yeah.
And I believe creatrix, I believe the Mother, Father, God, that and the other entities who are out there working benevolently for evolution, that, you know, sacred geometry must be a language that these beings utilize. And I think we definitely got to go beyond any question of these things being a hoax or this or that. I'm not even going to go there. You know, it's like these things have been occurring for decades. They're persistent. Even up till today, they're constantly appearing. So there's a communication, a language. There's whether or not as humans we're able to even interpret them completely. They are perfect examples of living light language, and living even in the sense that when they're laid down, you know, the swirls of wheat and grain are just heat bent, right? And so they're not killing a thing. These are literally living images inlaid upon the earth. And a lot of people believe that they're laid on ley lines and different power points of the planet. The earth, Mother Gaia, and in the Sanskrit language, Bhumi Devi, Mother Bhumi, just another word for the earth goddess, that, you know, as a very living being, she's receiving these acupuncture meridian activations. And so she's going through her evolutionary process. And as Mother Earth is waking, or not waking, she's always been awake, but as she's upgrading potentially, right, through higher dimensions, so us humans are being influenced. Some have conjectured that maybe this energy is going into the grain supply, which would be a much better benefit perhaps than GMOs, you know. I don't know. Maybe they're counterbalancing all that.
That could be.
All speculation there, but yeah, these are a powerful form of communication, and like a lot of this light, living light information, it may be so unconsciously it's being received. It will manifest as it needs to. It'll rise into our consciousness. We are becoming an illumined humanity, you know.
Right.
And so as far as directly being able to, you know, decipher each crop circle completely, I don't know who's capable of that. It'd be nice if we were
to understand more, it. Right.
Yeah, more accurate with it. Right. But just to view them, I think that's really important, you know, is that we view these images, take them into our consciousness, allow them to grow and nourish us. And accept them as art and beauty and sacred, you know.
Now we're almost out of time, but how do you see your mission, what you're doing, as helping the universe raise its vibration and awaken? I know we talked about it briefly, but yeah. In your own words.
Well, you know, I believe it was Gandhi who said, be the change you want to see in the world. Mm-hmm. And when I really contemplated that, you know, it really helped solidify that that's all we can really do. Like,
yeah.
As much as I would like to be out there on the front lines and making big changes, and there's people who are empowered to do those sort of things, and I really congratulate them, you know.
Right.
I found that my journey seems to be fairly solo and low key. but it's like, if I can spend time awakening myself, it's got to have a ripple effect in humanity, you know. And right. and then that goes for each of us,
right.
And it's such an individual journey. I even though I've come across many things that I want to share and I believe are pure and the truth and so on, I don't want to present information like this is the only way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So just because we're all so unique. And
we're all on a different path.
Yeah, and variety exists
right.
for the joy of variety.
Right. You know? Now, go ahead.
Oh well. Anyway, you know what can you say? I mean, I think we live in magical, amazing reality universe. We need to wake up more to a supernatural concept of just how magical this reality is. And then, of course, come together as brothers and sisters in light and love of reality,
right.
you know, and help create a better situation for every living being as we go forward.
Now, do you have any upcoming events or anything else you would like to, that's happening in your world that you would like to share with our listeners today?
Well, thanks, Candace. I think maybe this interview will help get some information out. And if more people want to tune into my website, and I have two websites. One is primarily my art and about reconnective healing. And that is Galactic Glyphs, plural, Galactic Glyphs with an S.com. And then the other site is BhaktiPalace.com. And that's BHAKTI, BhaktiPalace.com. And that site is making some literature, some Vedic texts available that are specific about creationism, posters, which are really far out, that are very kind of rare, that are not easy to find, about cosmology and spiritual dimensions and demigods and different topics like that. And so hopefully we can get into some of that information at a later date. But those two sites are how people can find me. And I'm happy. I'm not doing any events currently, but I'm always happy to channel a glyph drawing for people based on the resonance and frequency pattern I pick up in interacting with them. And send that to them, and also do either online or in-person reconnective healing session. So a combination of those things.
Very good. So it was a pleasure having you on our show today, Bala.
Thank you so much, Candy.
You're welcome. Nice and keep doing the great work that you're doing.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Check us out at www.awakenedpathonline.com. I'm your host, Dr. Candace Nadine Green, and you are listening to Awakened Path Radio, giving you tools to guide you on your spiritual or metaphysical journey. Thursday and let it be.